Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House. This is Team Reba with Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank. Thanks to our announcer, Batman, there.
Yes, and I'm Reba Hass from Team Reba. I can't do it like he does.
No. Next.
Open House with Team Reba.
We're going to be talking about rates and where they're going.
Team rates.
Okay, speaking of rates, we probably, you know, for any listeners who haven't gotten to know us that well yet, that is something we try to cover every week. When you're here, like, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was interviewing Sean Martin from the Rental Housing Association, which, by the way, I wanted to point out, did you see the news?
Sean Martin.
Yes, way to go, Rental Housing Association. Yay. Nice job on breaking down the first in time.
Yes, the first in time rule that the Seattle City Council passed that said you've got applicant one, applicant two. Mm-hmm. Applicant one, you don't like maybe. They're obnoxious. Let's just say they're a jerk. Applicant two, you're like a lot.
Yeah.
And you want to rent to the applicant two. If applicant one qualifies, you must rent to applicant one. You cannot rent to applicant two.
Yes.
Sean Martin and the Pacific Legal Foundation and the Rental Housing Association of Washington took the city of Seattle to court. They said that that was an unfair taking of property, and a judge agreed, and that ordinance was thrown out. So what a fantastic job to the Rental Housing Association. If you own rental property, by the way, in in our area, and really anywhere in the Northwest, you really should join the Rental Housing Association of Washington, rhawa.org. This group has forms, documents, classes, seminars, referral sources, different vendors that can help with all sorts of issues, from everything from contractors and maintenance to property management to legal work. It's a fantastic organization. And guess what?
I'm a member.
It's cheap. It doesn't cost very much to join.
Oh, yeah. It's a very inexpensive membership that is 100% worth it. Because, you know, if you own, let's say you own property in Seattle, but then maybe you bought another property down in Burien or Tukwila or Federal Way or what have you, they stay on top of the local stuff that goes on in all these local cities. So not only are they dealing with federal but state type, you know, issues, but different municipalities all have their own rules and stuff too. So these guys, they stay on top of everything, and they work really, really hard on behalf of local small landlords to make sure that they have a seat at the table when any government actions are being taken.
That's right.
And such you, as this thing in the city of Seattle.
And you and I, Reba, are focused like a laser beam on the city of Seattle, because as goes Seattle, so goes many of the communities around us.
Oftentimes, yes.
And, you know, the spirit of the ordinances in Seattle are aimed towards fair housing, towards rent control, basically. I'm going to say the word rent control, which is illegal by our Washington State Constitution.
Yes.
But they're
well, I thought
they're
you were
about
going
the
to
house
say
prices.
It first. Yeah, I thought you were going to say it first that it was about fair housing, and fair housing is always a reasonable thing to be discussing.
Of course.
But this rule, is not this is not fair housing when it comes into things like rent control.
There's not, and the other ordinances that are either in play right now, such as a landlord, if you collect a damage deposit, it cannot be more than 1 month's rent, and you must spread it out over 6 months interest-free, which is super risky for especially a small mom-and-pop landlord. There's that one. They're bantying around a requirement to make a landlord provide their income and expense information to their tenant.
Which is crazy town talk.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's trying to shame a landlord into keeping keeping the rents down.
Well, it's them interfering basically with a business enterprise, and that's just not okay.
It's
just
not
okay.
It's not. And so this is out of control, and you know, the good folks like the Rental Housing Association and Pacific Legal Foundation are really helping you know, to try and keep that in check. So,
much agreed. So
kudos to you guys.
Yes, yes. Nice work, guys. Nice work.
Yep. All right.
Okay,
rates.
So rates, so that is something that we typically do every week when you are here, because I can't do it when you're gone, because I am not a licensed mortgage professional. So, you know, you are here this week, so let's talk about it. What's going on?
What do they say? Never trust a one-armed economist, because they can't say on the other hand. So there's always two sides to look at all of these things.
Oh, you have a whole new set of listeners to hear your bad jokes.
Yeah,
I can't
my bad
wait.
Economics oh, jokes. Awesome. That's right. Well, you know, mortgage rates are driven by the bond market, mm-hmm. and the bond market is driven by
fear
of inflation mostly. These days, what the bond market's been doing, especially over the last week or so, is following the stock market. And when stocks go up, interest rates follow right along, and vice versa. So we've had some fairly wild fluctuations in the bond market over the last mm-hmm. week or so. And ultimately, you know, in general, we're a little bit better than we were even a couple of weeks ago. We're at about a low point okay. for the year with interest rates, which is still a fair amount higher than they were last year. But today, the national average for a conventional conforming 30-year fixed-rate loan is 4.49%, so just under 4.5%. So that's wow. down just about an eighth of a percent from okay. a week ago. 15-year fixed rates hovering around 3.87.
Okay.
FHA and VA, love our VA buyers, 4.25 for a 30-year fixed-rate loan. And 30-year fixed-rate jumbo financing, which in Kings, Snohomish, and Pierce County is any loan amount above $667,500. The interest rate right now is hovering right around 4.5%. So they're sitting, again, a little bit better than where we were maybe a week or so ago. And cross your fingers, you know, the stock market has been rallying a little bit, at least early in the week, and we'll see mm-hmm. how the week ends out. But you know, the bonds and interest rates will follow stocks. So
okay.
stocks up.
Well, I'm crossing fingers up. And legs.
Everything.
Just not my eyes.
There you go. Everything.
Yes.
So that's our rundown with rates. I always, when I'm giving rates, these are national averages.
Right.
And my quick disclaimer here, interest rates vary based on many, many factors, a person's credit score, the loan amount, the loan program, the type of property, the occupancy mm-hmm. of it. So these are just generalized national averages for specific rates. Mm-hmm. Talk to your mortgage professional.
Can I just throw in a different other little thing behind that? Because it's not from your bank,
sure.
but I will say I just came from a meeting. One of my clients is buying new construction,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to need a jumbo loan.
Mm-hmm.
And we had introduced them to a lender we knew who handled jumbo loans. And I had mentioned to them that, you know, if they had an account at this particular bank, perhaps they might see some other benefits as well. Make sure you're really clear. They gave me some great feedback before I came here today. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm big about transparency, right?
Sure,
I'm huge on transparency. And I'm a little disappointed to have learned that they felt like this person wasn't really transparent with them. Mm-hmm. They did say, yes, there's some things that we can do if you open these accounts, what have you. But then apparently the dollar volume on those accounts suddenly got quite large.
Yeah.
And turned into some things where suddenly my really smart clients, I mean, I got a lot of really bright, bright people that we work with all the time. A lot of them were in, you know, they're either physicians, management mm-hmm. level, you know, business owners, technology people. And this is a couple of really smart tech people. And their comment to me was, we started getting lost.
Mm.
You know, the things kept changing and things kept moving around. And at the end of the day, we ended up not being very comfortable. And they know how much I want feedback on mm-hmm. these kinds of things.
Yeah.
So I'll be having a conversation with this other mm-hmm. person very
yeah.
soon. I did not have time between that and this. But there will be a conversation about why was there not transparency? Or how is it that it was not laid out in such a way that they actually knew what was going to happen? Because
right.
it was a particular set of circumstances. I mean, people have to realize is not only is it their individual situation, but sometimes the requirements at the bank for some of the special things that they might be offering. But then also in this particular case, it was new construction.
Mm-hmm.
So we had long rate periods
yeah,
that we had to consider too.
If you're buying a new home, you know, that hasn't been built yet,
mm-hmm.
It is possible to lock in an interest rate. You can lock a rate. It varies from lender to lender, but
mm-hmm.
up to a year or even a year and a half,
right?
Guaranteeing what your interest rate will be in the future. The longer the period you lock for, there will be some added cost to that.
Right.
But not every lender offers that. And the ones that don't
mm-hmm.
dance all around it. And
yeah.
they say, well, we can do this, we can do that. Or they try and talk you out of a long-term lock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we look at what's happened with interest rates even over the last 3 months,
yeah.
you know, folks
it's
that did a long-term
different.
Lock are really, really happy right now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's reasons to consider something like that. And,
right.
and with most lenders that offer a long-term lock, the beauty of it is that once you're locked, you're protected from rates rising on you. But mm-hmm. as you get closer to the completion of your home and the closing of your transaction, you can float down if interest rates go lower.
Right.
So you have the protection from rates rising, but also the opportunity to take a lower rate.
But is it always a free float down, or is there a cost associated?
It's usually what's called a free float down, meaning, and I'll give you just a...
But it's usually like a one-time though, right?
Generally, yeah, without for free, it's a one-time thing.
Right.
You could probably take advantage of it more than that. And again, these rules vary from lender to lender. For instance, at Home Street, our float down is free. And when you lock for a longer term, we are going to collect a deposit from you up front. Because as a lender, when we're locking a rate for 3 months, 6 months, 12 months down the line, we have to actually hedge for that interest rate risk, because we have no clue where rates are going to be
exactly.
A year from now.
Yeah.
So there is a cost to it, although in comparison to the risk of not locking in, mm-hmm. it's pretty cheap insurance.
Well, I will say I was fairly dismayed to have heard that information. And then they told me that they'd already gone ahead and talked to another lender. And it was too bad, because I actually had a great contact at the other lender that they were talking mm-hmm. to, who has, I think, what they're going to go for. But, you know, it just goes to show you can't just like look at stuff online. People have a tendency,
no.
We already said this in the last segment, people have a tendency, like they'll do their research online, and this goes right back to the experience piece mm-hmm. of, you know, you got to know some things to ask, different stuff to look for. And sometimes, you know, like in this couple's case, they were originally looking at a resale situation. So the conversation you have with a lender about a resale property is going to be different than a new construction.
Absolutely it is.
Right? Because it's yeah. a whole different set of circumstances and loan rate locks and all the other things that are, you know, go along with
That's
that.
Right.
So, you know, in fact, in this case, we have the further complication of, yeah, my client happens to have the stock availability to have the down payment if they need to, and that's what they're using for their qualifying. But they really have a preference to sell their home. But if we don't want to have to go in on a contingency, which some of these places will not accept,
mm-hmm.
well, you know, you got to have your backup plans.
That's right.
So mm-hmm. we have our backup plan, and we have, you know, what we're also going to be doing. So now the question is, okay, when is the construction going to be complete, so that we can then make sure we know what the timing is for the house to go on market.
Interesting. You know, mm-hmm. Kind of along that same line, I have got some really interesting story about our real estate market when we come back from the break.
Can't wait to talk about this. This is one you're going to want to listen to. Come back with us on Open House on Team Reba.
Open House with Team Reba on AM 1590. The Answer.